The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
Well, just gone 7:15 here. Time for the Palestine Report. Return after, a couple of weeks, expectedly so, it being December, etc. But not stopping there in Palestine, with a number of human rights violations taking place in the recent past, as well as over the period of the lockdown itself. Number of human rights reports coming in stating that the treatment issued, to Palestinians, especially in the wake of COVID-19, unequal in every way. Israel being one of the first countries rolling out a major vaccination program, however, specifically isolating many Palestinians, certainly in the West Bank, but even amongst their citizenry. Recently, an Israeli human rights group declaring Israel an apartheid regime. Now, this is the organization, the Bit Taslim. Bit Taslim has been around for a long time now, one of the oldest human rights organizations in Israel. Less do we hear about the Israeli human rights groups. There's a number of them. And to their credit, quite a bit of information that has passed on over the decades with regards to insider information in the government has been through these human rights groups. To talk off this
declaration. Yes, so as far as what Bit Salem has said, they have, after years of reporting, they've been in existence since 1989, but for the first time, after many very incisive declarations against the Israeli occupation, for the first time in their latest position paper issued a few days ago, they said that Israel explicitly is an apartheid regime. And in doing this, they actually did away with any distinction between the occupied territories and the state of Israel itself. They said that the entire area between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River, in this entire area, the Israeli regime implements laws, practices, and state violence designed to cement the supremacy of one group, which is Jews, over another group, Palestinians. And it went on to say that there's only one word that covers this phenomena adequately, and that is the phenomena of apartheid. But a key part of this report is how it challenges that distinction that is used by so many countries still around the world, that paradigm of the occupied territories being one region and Israel being a state, an established state on the other side, practicing democracy. It says this cannot hold because occupation is meant to be a temporary condition. And clearly, after more than 50 years, it's no longer temporary and has become the de facto reality. So, whether you are in the state of Israel, whether you are in the occupied territories, everybody is under one regime, but obviously afforded unequal treatment. And to illustrate that point, it says there's one regime, Israel, governing the entire area and the people living in it based on a single organizing principle. And it says that that single organizing principle, in its own words, is Jewish supremacy. And I think this is a very valuable report, even for somebody who would like to get a good grasp of dynamics from an educational perspective, the history of the region, because it takes area by area what is the plight of Palestinians within Palestine 1948 or the State of Israel. What's the situation in the Gaza Strip? How is apartheid practiced there? East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and even within the West Bank, those areas that are under nominal Palestinian control, how is apartheid practiced there as well? And it goes on to also make that distinction between apartheid as something that's statuted by international law versus apartheid that was practiced in South Africa, and saying that when we're saying Israel is an apartheid state, it doesn't necessarily have to mirror each and every aspect of apartheid that we see or we saw in apartheid South Africa. And further, it goes then on to break down the practice of apartheid on three or four axes. So it says that Israeli apartheid is built on these four principles. One is that immigration into this entire land is for Jews only, not for Palestinians. Then land takeover of land is exclusively for Jews, and Palestinians are pushed into enclaves. Then there's restriction of the movement of Palestinians and restriction in political participation. Why have they made this distinction now after so many years in existence? They say that in recent years they've seen a motivation and willingness of Israeli officials and institutions to enshrine Jewish supremacy in law and openly state their intentions. So because of the brazenness of the Israeli state in stating these intentions. Why is this then important at this particular time in the wider discourse about Israel? Firstly, as one of the commentators wrote, it is difficult to change reality if one refrains from calling things by their proper name. So using such strong language openly, can contribute to change. Secondly, as you mentioned there, this being an Israeli group, that is often quoted even by the mainstream media. There's a new administration coming up in the United States of America, and they're trying to turn the clock back to this discourse of the peace process and business as usual. This is going to challenge that, and also it aligns itself with the wider talk about a one-state reality. But there's an interesting comment on this as a final point from Norman Finkelstein, who's a widely published author, Jewish author, on the Palestinian-Israeli situation. And he says that while he appreciates the apartheid definition, he actually prefers the language that's even used in this report that characterizes Israel more as a Jewish supremacist state, and he feels that this will this particular terminology will be able to rattle Jewish supremacist representatives and supporters of the state. And he says, just as establishment media talk about Hamas very often, and always describe it as the entity that calls for the destruction of the state of Israel, he argues that supporters of Palestinian rights should at every possible occasion bring home the point that Israel, which is a Jewish supremacist state, when referring to Netanyahu, calling the Jewish supremacist prime minister of Israel, and so forth. And if anybody's taken to task on this point, he argues that they should simply say that one of Israel's leading human rights organizations has concluded that Israel is organized around the principle of Jewish supremacy.
Indeed, Hafez Ibrahim Musa, and Beit Salama or Beit Taslim is one of those organizations whose name's quite catchy, right? In Arabic, appealing to the Palestinian and the Christian, population, the Muslim and Christian population, Beit Taslim means in our image. So in our image would mean that, that we Jewish and Arab in occupation of this land are basically equals, and Beit Salama, which is in Hebrew, that the safety of the land or the safety of the house. And what's significant about it, if I can add a bit of a contribution there, Hafez Ibrahim, is that all this while, when international groups like Amnesty, etc., have been criticizing the Israeli regime, they're quick to come across by saying that it is, you're anti-Semitic. But where your own Beit Taslim and a number of others have come and called the state itself an apartheid state, in fact worse than apartheid, well, who are you going to call an anti-Semite, now? Moving on, Hafez Ibrahim, after a 15-year gap, now Palestinians to hold elections. Now, we know of the tension that can be caused with elections in the region, especially, the Gaza last elections, Fatah and Hamas, going at it for a considerable, number of times, and, to the point of that area being practically in civil war. What are we to expect after this 15-year gap of Palestinian elections, Hafez Ibrahim?
Yeah, so the timeline to this has obviously seen several false starts along the way, but in July 2020, there was kind of a renewed push for Palestinian inter-Palestinian reconciliation, and there were also hiccups in that process, but after an exchange of letters between the Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh and Mahmoud Abbas, the announcement was made by Abbas that elections are going to be held, legislative on May the 22nd, presidential on July the 31st this year, and also a means to revive the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They're going to have elections for the National Council in August. Now, this is 15 or 16 years or more than 15 years after those elections were held, and obviously after that refusal of the international community to recognize those results and all the strife that followed in the Gaza Strip. The Palestinian leadership, though, what perhaps provided the impetus at this point in time, and I think this could still cast a dark shadow over the entire process. Why did Mahmoud Abbas take this particular action at this particular time? Apparently, he received a letter from the incoming American administration calling on it to hold new elections to reportedly renew the legitimacy in the Palestinian Authority, and we also understand that Biden's team expressed its desire to inject new blood into the PA's institutions. And the fact that this is coming, if this these reports are true, coming out of pressure from the United States of America, does, I feel, not bode well for building an internal Palestinian consensus, because it's going back to an institution that has been delegitimized after years of a false peace process and the Oslo process, and just trying to resuscitate that, and this coming from external pressure, has all the underpinnings of this once again falling apart if it's not really considering the serious reservations that Palestinians have expressed against the PA and the means that it has used to be a policeman for the Israelis over a long period of time.
Finally, Hafez Ibrahim, concerns that Israel is exploiting the COVID-19 lockdown in Jerusalem to entrench control over Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, this has always been a worry, and this is not something which is far-fetched. Whenever there is some sort of a restriction on the movement of people in al-Aqsa, it's been noted that when it comes to, be it in the name of archaeology or security, Israeli authorities moving on the compound, installing cameras, installing all types of equipment, and in fact, who knows what, without the permission of the Palestinian Authority or international observers. What's the latest concern about Israeli authorities moving on the Al-Aqsa compound whilst the lockdown restrictions are enforced?
There's a series of developments. First, there's been heavy digging on the Barak, just outside the Barak wall of Masjid al-Aqsa. This is the area that is referred to as the Western Wall. And serious digging, major movement of earth and rocks that has not been seen in a very long time. There's been videos that have emerged of how loud this excavation is, to the extent that it's been heard very loudly inside Masjid al-Aqsa, cracks appearing in Masjid al-Aqsa at certain platforms as well. Then settler access to Masjid al-Aqsa has continued unhindered through this lockdown, openly praying inside Masjid al-Aqsa during the incursions on a daily basis. And then something that really disturbed the Palestinians was an Israeli team or a team that accompanied the Israeli occupation into Masjid al-Aqsa in the last week and conducted surveying activities of the masjid using 3D equipment. And again, what was the purpose of that? Very little communication from the Israelis, and when it shrouded in such secrecy, obviously serious concerns about this. And all of this, as you mentioned, happening while the lockdown is in place, and this resulting in the Palestinian Waqf and other Palestinian bodies saying that Israel is exploiting the situation to tighten the noose on the old city and create facts on the ground in Masjid al-Aqsa. And the sum total of this is that in a period of normalization, the period of the deal of the century and all these kind of developments, Israel seems to be further undermining the role of the Islamic custodianship over Masjid al-Aqsa. And activists have cited many instances over the past 2 years that lead to this conclusion, amongst them that when the walls of Masjid al-Aqsa needed some restoration, they did it in 2019 without the Palestinian Awqaf representation at all. Earlier this or last year, they installed a parallel audio system inside Masjid al-Aqsa, public announcement system. Open prayer is now being tolerated by Zionist settlers inside Masjid al-Aqsa, and they also attempted to close Masjid al-Aqsa according to the Hebrew calendar a few months ago. So all of that painting an ominous picture, and therefore not beyond beyond fathom to see the exploitation then of the current COVID lockdown in the city of Jerusalem.
Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, Jazakumullah Khairan for joining us, and as always with the Palestine Report, a resumption for the, you know, after the break. Jazakumullah Khairan for your insight. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.